of the reasons I started the Girl Unlimited podcast was not just to inspire women to tap into their unlimited potential, but to celebrate those who are tapping into theirs one action step at a time. In this episode, we explore the journey of one of my dearest, dearest friends, Debbie Akinkunle, into life coaching, specifically Christian life coaching, or as she likes to call it, kingdom life coaching. If you've considered venturing into life coaching, not necessarily Christian life coaching, that just happens to be the niche of my guest. But if you're considering life coaching and have no clue where to start, or have, for one reason or the other, held yourself back, I hope listening to someone in the thick of doing it right now will inspire you to action. Debbie Akinkunle is an accredited Christian life coach and recently became a John Maxwell certified coach, teacher, trainer, and speaker. She specializes in personal development, success, and accountability coaching for the Christian community. She is a champion for people, helping them live their best lives, and has put in the work to make sure she does exactly that. She's one of the most resourceful dream achievers I know, in spite of the challenges she's experienced in her personal life. That's the stuff a true Girl Unlimited is made of, if you ask me. I'm positive that the time you spend listening today will be time well spent. Just a fair warning that she does speak pretty fast. And coming to think of it, I think I actually matched her pace on this one. But I'm working on it. So for this episode, I suggest maybe adjusting your speed settings to a slower pace if you need to. But all in all, enjoy the episode. To have you on the podcast. I mean, it's kind of like, again, just girl on girl chats, because we have spent time talking. Debbie's one of my dearest friends. We work together. We have met up in London for so many chats and lunch, and so this is like literally talking to, it is talking to a girlfriend. So, but I really, really wanted to highlight she's doing so many things, and one of those women that, I was just reeling out to my husband earlier on today, this morning, and I was just saying, because he was like, okay, so what are the things she's done? And as I was reeling it out, I was like, girl is on fire, like literally. So she's like boom, 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 boom. If you're looking for someone who is like an action taker, she is the person to, if you're looking for inspiration to take action, she's the person you need in your corner. And I'm so glad to be able to have called her friend and sister for years now. She pulled up a document not too long ago, and I was like, oh my God, we've been doing this for so long. So glad to have you on the show, Debs.
Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm excited to be here.
Okay, let's just dive right in, and let's tell us. Debbie is a kingdom life coach, and I'm curious, and I'm sure those of you listening are curious as well. How did you come about that title to start with, which I think is really, really sick? That's sick being good. But also, It is unique to you. And how did you come about that title, and how did you come about that path?
Well, I want to say, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here. And more than that, I'm excited for this podcast, because I'm sure I can't wait to hear, all the other guests that are going to come on here and all the great things that's going to happen as a consequence of this podcast. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm hoping that I'll be here again just to come and have fun and have that girly chat. So yes, I am a Kingdom Life Coach. I've always had coaching on my mind is something that has always been, I think it's been a part of me. And as I decided to step out as a coach, when you first get into coaching, some of the things you need to consider is what kind of a coach you want to be. So do you want to be a personal coach, a business coach? Maybe you want to serve corporations. Do you want to be a life coach? And when I considered what kind of a coach I wanted to be, I have in the past worked with individuals, I've worked with businesses, and I've just worked with all sorts of different people. And I felt like the right path of me was to work as a life coach, but not just a life coach, a Christian life coach. And so I had to think, how can I set myself apart from other Christian life coaches out there? And I've always had this kingdom perspective, kingdom and gender on my mind. I love people who identify with the kingdom, people who call themselves kingdom citizens, or, you know, they imbibe a kingdom culture. And I thought, kingdom life coach, I believe it's an inspiration from the Holy Spirit, and I went with that. Since then, I have actually seen a couple of other people call themselves a Kingdom Life Coach. I don't know if that's because they saw me as a Kingdom Life Coach, or maybe it's just a term that they came across. Yeah. It's just who I am, and it just sets me apart, I guess, just in terms of the thing I do and that which is important to me and also to my clients.
Fantastic. Okay, so a question just dropped in my mind while you were talking. You talked about kingdom citizens and, you know, kingdom perspective and kingdom mindset. What exactly is that? Like, what exactly is a kingdom? Who is a kingdom citizen, and what does a kingdom citizen look like? And what is a kingdom mindset and, yeah, perspective?
So when I talk about kingdom, a kingdom perspective, for me, I think the first thing I would say is that I believe strongly that I've been called to Christians, to other Christians, and so they will understand the agenda of the kingdom of God. And so when we think about the kingdom, the Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Or, you know, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with at the right hand side of Jesus. The Bible also says, you know, there's so many things in the Bible. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. I think that's in Philippians 3 or something like that. So there's so many different things that identify us, that separate us from the world. So it's really about taking up that position as a person of the kingdom of God, you know, that heavenly realm, you know, with the King of Kings, as it were. And so that's where I get it from. And I believe as Christians, I think that's a missing link, is that many people call themselves Christians, but they don't have the agenda of heaven on their mind. And for me, the agenda of heaven, when I think about it, a kingdom agenda, is simply releasing the fragrance of heaven here on earth. You know, that kingdom come on heaven as it is on earth. God's kingdom has to come here on earth. Many people are living life now thinking that, you know, we'll enjoy heavenly benefits later. But why can't we live? Why can't we live the kingdom lifestyle now, so that we can infuse and dive, you know, the fragrance of heaven here on earth for the people, not just for us as Christians to enjoy, but also for non-Christians to see and to be attracted to, so that we can populate the kingdom of heaven, as it were, and depopulate the kingdom of hell.
Nicely done. I love that word fragrance. I mean, those of you who know me know I am a word geek, and I love the word fragrance, because it paints a picture in your mind. Everyone, well, hopefully most people who are listening to this use some sort of fragrance, especially in the summer months. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
But we understand. You never know. We understand the concept of fragrance, because fragrance, you're talking about something that's sweet smelling, you know, and even when you are not there, even when you've just gone past, and those are the ones I like the best. You've just gone past and you just, the person has just, you know, the person's fragrance has filled the air, in inverted commas. If you can see me, I'm doing quotation marks. You know, but, and you don't even need to, sometimes you don't even know who has done, or who has created that sweet smell in the air, but the person has just gone past. And I mean, I guess alternatively, you can say that for when the smell isn't actually really nice.
But obviously,
you're not going to call that a fragrance, would you? Anyway, so
no.
Thanks for saying that. That's amazing. As you were talking, I was just thinking, I was like, okay, so you've talked about, you know, wanting to be a coach. Was that something that's from when you were little, or was that something that came to the forefront when you were older?
I would say the latter. So it came to the forefront when I was older. I actually started the journey of life coaching or looking into coaching, I think probably in 2010 or thereabouts. I've had an interest in this field for a very long time. I am very entrepreneur minded, as you probably know, and I've started, I've done so many different businesses, but one business that's always been on my mind and that I haven't pursued per se in the same way that I'm doing now is coaching. And I remember in 2010, I think it was certainly something that came up in America. I know coaching's been around for quite some time. And I remember my husband was approached by somebody who was a coach at the time and you know, to offer him coaching services. And he, in as much as it sounded great, he really wasn't down for it at the time. And I think that's because at that time, here in the UK, certainly, coaching wasn't one of those businesses that many people were doing. I looked up and I found the Coaching Academy online, and I went and I did one of their 2-3-day program, and I loved it. I loved everything they taught, and I could see myself in that position doing that work. But I just didn't have the support from the people around me. I didn't have the right structures were not in place. I couldn't see anybody else who was a life coach to help me to get going. And then there was obviously there was also the issue of monetary concerns. I think it's so much more easier now. You can become a life coach with no money, to be honest.
Absolutely,
with you,
yeah.
If you have the skills, yeah. But back then, I personally had a lot of limiting beliefs, and I felt that I needed you had to sign into this program with a coaching academy, which was a couple of £1,000. I felt certainly that I couldn't be a life coach unless I had paid the money, and I became accredited to be a life coach in that point in time. And so I held back. But it's something that my husband will tell you, it's something I've been harping on about for many, many years, and I've been looking for lots of different opportunities to get into coaching. And here I am today.
So what was it about coaching that drew you in? Speaking of Coaching Academy, I actually attended as well, but this was just last year, just out of a whim. So it was this 2-day free thing that they put up, isn't it? I did
exactly
attend last year, beginning of 2010, just before the pandemic. So it was quite interesting. I left the meeting. I mean, I could see why people suggested I attended. I think I came away feeling, I don't know if I want to be a coach or a variation of a coach. So what is it about coaching in itself that, were there certain signs? So I know, I understand your interest, but how did you know you were going to be good at it? So I know, I mean, you have so many testimonials. I know you're good at what you do. No doubt about it. And so I'm wondering, what was it? Did you have any like natural inclination that's, you know, gave you reason to think that, you know what, I think I'll be really good at this?
I'm someone who loves to research. I love to read and I love to research. And I came across this, I guess, really just in terms of just me exploring the things out there that I could do. And that's something that was quite close to my interest. And so I went just to find out more about it. And, you know, the more I was there, the more I learned, the more I loved what they were teaching. For me, it's really about being able to help other people, transform other people's lives, help them to live the life that they wanted to live. And for me, that's really what does it for me. You know, when I look at my lifestyle and where I'm coming from, I certainly feel like I needed somebody there to guide me along the way, especially in my younger years, I didn't have that. And for me, it's really about being that person for other people. Aside from that, when I went along, I found that a lot of the things that they were teaching many of those things I already did in my life anyway. Okay, I didn't have the frameworks, I didn't have the strategy, but certainly I had the same sort of passion and the same sort of heart. So a lot of what they said, I mean, I'm the kind of person that I would look at what they're doing and I think, okay, how would Debbie go about this? So I had my own way of, you know, how I would do it, but I just wasn't afforded the opportunity, or maybe I just didn't see the opportunity at that time. So I certainly felt like I was in the right place, but I just felt like I just didn't have the resources that I needed at that time to start.
Okay. Makes sense. So what then changed? So now, because you talked about limiting beliefs, and I'm sure not just limiting beliefs, but circumstantial limitations as well. Maybe you couldn't afford the training. So what eventually changed? So you started coaching around about 2010, did you say? Or was that when you became aware?
Yeah, so 2010 was when I became aware of the fact that, you know, I could be a life coach. I actually started coaching, I would say I probably started coaching in 2013, unaware. So as in, you know, actively coaching, but unaware of the fact that I was actually coaching people. At that time, aside from my 9-to-5, I was exploring lots of other different businesses, and I do that all the time, you know. And it's not until I look back now that I can see that I was doing that. And so I had a community of people where, for example, I think one of the ones we did, I mean, so we started a book club, a bit like, you know, you and I do a book club as well. But we were learning certain things, we'd get together, we'd discuss what we're learning, we'd discuss how we could put it into play, you know. And a lot of the times when I have these kind of meetings, I would be, you know, I'd be the one facilitating it. I'm the kind of person that I like to bring other people together. But, you know, people would say, okay, Debbie, you're the one doing it. And it was, I really enjoyed it. I would actually go to Amazon, I'd buy boxes of books. I'd share the books out, you know, at church or whatever community we had. I loved it. You know, we'd get together, we'd read. And I did that. And then it was called Divas Readers. But we did so many different things like that. And then I think in 2013, I was looking to grow spiritually because I felt like I wasn't fulfilled where I was. I loved my church. I loved the teaching, but I felt like God wanted more of me, or God wanted me to seek him out more. And I just felt like I could not just rely on the church to continue to feed me spiritually. I needed to do something for myself to prove to myself that I'm growing spiritually, and also to satisfy this desire to be more intimate with God. And at that point in time, I said to myself, you know, you've been a Christian for so many years, you've never read the Bible through from back to front. So that became a goal, you know, and as it were, that was just simply my goal. I want to read the Bible from front to back. And, you know, my sister said, yeah, let's do this. It sounds like a great idea. So I got together a few friends, and that's how we started back then on WhatsApp. We started what was Wisdom Truth Ministries. And then every day we read a chapter every single day. And the only requirement was you had to read the chapter of the day, and you had to come back and share what you'd learned and how you were going to apply it to your life. And that really, really took off very well. I had people joining from all over, from America, from Nigeria, Ghana, from all different places. And what really blew my mind away was the kind of people that I was attracting in terms of that group. So I had pastors, senior pastors, and I had, you know, just young people who just coming to know Christ. And it was really nobody's title. Nobody was allowed to have any titles in my group. We were all brothers and sisters. We didn't want to call anyone by name. And we'd share, you know, someone would share something, you'd pick up on what somebody else was sharing. It was really, really great. And we did that for a year, and then we did it the next year, and then we did the next year, and then we introduced topics, themes, and other things. So for me, that was more about spiritual growth. And a lot of the people testified to the spiritual growth that they attained as a consequence of joining that. Many of them had never read the Bible back to front. But it wasn't just about reading the Bible back to front. It was about the revelations that we each person got, not just from reading the Bible, but from what other people shared. As we came together, we rubbed minds together, you know, so much came out of it, and people's lives was truly transformed. And for me, that's what makes a difference. And I'm not saying that churches don't transform you, they do, but for me, this was more intimate. It was a more smaller group setting where we could come together and share, and really not just experience transformation for yourself, but see the transformation that other people are going through. And that would inspire you to grow, to be more outside of the remit of the church. So much so that some of the pastors that were in the group would take some of the teachings and actually go teach it on a Sunday or on a Wednesday to their congregation. So that's how I started, and that's how I'd say I fell into it. And that would be from a spiritual perspective, without actually knowing.
Wow. As I was just listening to you talk, I mean, there's so many things came to my mind. As before we started the recording, I know we were talking about, you know, people asking you if you were going to be, or if you were training to be a pastor, and you're like, I mean, why do I have to be training to be a pastor to do what I'm doing? And in my mind, I just love the fact that you are carving out a space for yourself. So there is, you know, I feel that there are different ways, that different expressions of teachers and trainers, and I feel like you have found somewhere for yourself, you know, in the coaching space, which I think will and should really appeal to a lot of people, especially when you keep, I mean, I think you're a natural people gatherer. It's one of the things I know about you anyway. And just when you talk about intimacy and just bringing people to that place, I think it's very special. Okay, so have there been any like obstacles that you've experienced coming into the space that you could highlight? And I'm saying this for the benefit of our listeners who probably are thinking, Kingdom Life Coach, that sounds like something that I would want to get myself involved in. I don't want to be a pastor, but I feel I'm called to the church. I feel like not necessarily the church, but I feel I'm called to Christians, and I want to be able to help Christians in this way. So were there any obstacles in terms of barriers to entry that you experienced?
You mean to becoming a life coach?
Yes, to becoming a kingdom life coach.
Yes. I think the first barriers that you come across is the mindset one. It's you know, I'm in this space. How would other people see me? How would other people judge me? I mean, for example, there's the example you gave that just in terms of being a pastor. So they just think, oh, she's just a glorified pastor. Or she's a pastor who just wants to make money from her teachings and her preachings. But, you know, I think it's really just about people understanding what does a kingdom life coach do. And my job is not necessarily to preach to you, although everything I do is based on kingdom principles. So that's something that sets me apart as a kingdom life coach, is that it's always kingdom principles. So whatever I teach you, I will teach you from a kingdom standpoint, and I will, you know, point out those principles. But my job is not necessarily just to teach you. My job is to help you to become whom God has called you to be, is to help you along that journey, is to help you identify your purpose in Christ, and why are you here, and what are you doing, and where does Christ want you to be, and how are you going to get there, and how are you going to, how are you going to overcome the obstacles that life throws at you. And so these are some of the obstacles that I've found, you know, just generally as in people who want to come into this space to be a life coach, is understanding exactly what does a life coach do, and more so, what does a kingdom life coach do. And I do want to say, you know, a life coach will help you. The job of a life coach essentially is to help you to get from where you are to where you need to be. So you identify who you are, where you are right now, where do you want to go, and this is how you get there. This is the bridge. This is, you know, this is the roadmap. However, a kingdom life coach won't necessarily focus on that. The focus more is on where does God want you to be, and who has he called you to be in Christ, and where are you right now according to that roadmap, that design, that blueprint. And sometimes some people come and they don't have no idea where God wants them to be, or what God wants them to be doing. And so it's really helping them to understand what that is, and then to live that life. So I hope that answers your question. But those are some of the obstacles that do come across.
It does. It does. What you've said makes absolute sense. I want you to also speak into, I mean, we are in a Facebook group together, a certain Facebook group together. And one of the things that we highlighted is that there is obstacle in the minds of people. I'm happy that you mentioned mindset, because obviously this is all, most of it starts with, it is a mindset, isn't it? A mindset. There were, you highlighted something very important, which was the fact that a lot of Christians feel like they don't need a life coach. What do they need a kingdom life coach for? A Christian life coach, because they have Jesus already and they have the word of God. So why do they need the services of a coach? So why should we secure your services?
yes, thank you for that question. Yeah, you're right. There was a discussion going on just in terms of why. And I think generally most Christians see their lives as, you know, this life that God has asked me to live, and in order to live that life, I need to live it by faith. And, you know, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I worship God, that's enough. And whilst those things are great, you know, the first thing I'd point out is that we need each other. You know, we can't do what we want to do by ourselves. And just going back to that question in terms of the group and the discussions, one of the main things that I find that is true and that was brought up was essentially the fact that most people feel like, you know, when you think about life coaching and what we do, the work we do with people, it's more about glorifying self and lifting up the self. You know, when the Bible says deny yourself, you know, it shouldn't be about yourself. You know, you have to decrease so that God in you may increase. And whilst I believe all of these things are true, I believe that we do ourselves an injustice. And God is not necessarily pleased if we do not develop into the person that he has called us to be. So he's the creator of heaven and earth, and there is a reason why Debbie is here today, and there's a reason why you are here today. And I don't know why you're here today. The only person who knows why you're here today is God. And I won't know why I'm here today unless I find out from God, like, who have you created me to be? Why am I here? What is your purpose for my life? And how can I live that life? And, you know, and I, in addition to saying that, I believe that we serve an Ephesians 3:20 God, and he has created us as Ephesians 3:20 human beings. What do I mean by that? I believe that God has put so much potential inside of us, so much so that I believe that we cannot completely explore all the realms of the potential that God has placed inside of us. But I believe we do ourselves an injustice and we do not give God a return on his investment in us when we do not explore it and when we do not push past ourselves and when we do not try to be the all that God has called for us to be. And in order to be all that God has called us for us to be, I need to know, who am I in this big world that God has placed me in? Who am I in God's plans and God's design? He says, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. So God knows the plans that he has for me. Now I need to know what those plans are that he has for me so that I can begin to live out those plans. And often enough in life, we live out the plans of the world. We live out the plans of our parents, of our church, or all the people around us, all these communities and environments around us, the labels that they give us and where they expect us to be. But we don't ask God about those plans that he has for us that are good and not of evil to bring us to an expected end. What is that expected end? We need to understand it. And in order to understand that, we need to understand, who am I in God's big plan? Where does he want me to go? And where am I right now? Am I in the right direction or am I going in the wrong direction? How can I bring myself back on the right direction? In order to do that, we need to explore who God has called us to be. We need to explore those potentials, because I believe there's a clue in the potential that we have inside of us. And you can never know the potentials you have inside of you until you begin to seek them out, until you begin to search them out. There's a scripture that says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to search it out. So God has placed so much inside of us and none of us is searching it out, because we believe that, you know, we live by faith and we've got to deny the self. Yes, we deny the self, but even when you think about something, a kingdom principle, as the fruit of the spirit, we cannot imbibe the fruit of the spirit if we don't first of all learn what the fruit of the spirit is, and then what does it mean and how can I live it out. We're not going to imbibe and live out the fruit of the spirit just by faith. Faith without works is dead. So we need to learn, what is it that we need to do? How do we need to do it? How can we get there? I mean, like, I could go on with so many different Bible scriptures just in terms, but I feel like as Christians we limit ourselves so much. We limit our potential. And there's a saying that the grave is the richest place on earth, you know, because simply all those treasures that God has placed in us, we don't explore it. And the Bible tells us that everything we need for life and godliness is within us. But we don't explore it in the name of I'm living a life of faith, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I will end and say this, that God expects a return on his investment in you. The same way he gave in the parable, you know, the parable of the talents. One person got one talent, another person got five talents, another person got 10 talents. What talents has God given you? And I'm talking about talents. I'm not just talking about money. I'm not just talking about skill. What talents, what potential, what abilities, what capabilities has he placed inside of you? How are you exploring them? How are you living them out? Is God going to return and say, yes, my good and faithful servant, you have done well? Or is he going to be upset because you haven't even tried to explore? And like, I will just go back to what I said before. You can never, ever, I mean, when you talk about me and you're saying about, oh, Debbie, you do all of these different things, I still feel that there's more, because there's so much more that God has placed inside of me. And I do this world an injustice if I, you know, I believe we are all called to serve with the gifts that God has given us. And we do ourselves an injustice when we do not explore, who am I? What can I be? What can I do? You know, in line with who God has called me to be, in line with the capabilities and the potentials that he has placed inside of me. And so that's really what all of this is about. And so it really, really breaks my heart when, you know, I hear people saying things like, well, you know, this is self-aggrandization, you know, this is you're being narcissistic or whatever the case is. No, God expects you to develop that which he has given you. And that's the reason why even in Genesis in the beginning, he said, be fruitful and multiply what I've given you. It's not enough for you to just live and just, you know, coast in life. So I think I'll stop there, otherwise I'll go on.
Oh my goodness. That was just you just dropped so many nuggets there. I was trying to write as quickly as possible and I was not succeeding. I don't write that quickly, unfortunately. But
I talk fast.
No, that's absolutely fine. You know, I know you and I know you talk, but I wanted you to be in your element and be as natural as possible. And guys, this is my sister being as natural as she is. I don't want anything about her to change. So, because that's how you would get the best out of her. So if you have any issues understanding what she's saying because you think she's going too fast, you have settings in all the gadgets we use. You can go slower. Many times we go faster, you can go slower, so you can pick out every single thing she said, because she has dropped a lot of bombs in just that, in 5 minutes thereabouts that she spoke. It was amazing. I mean, I was just writing all sorts of things. I mean, I hear you when you say we have so much inside of us, so much potential inside of us. I mean, that's one of the tenets of Girl Unlimited. I mean, it's saying that, look, you as a woman, I like to call us girls because I feel like that brings out the unadulterated side of us. That's why I love to use the word girl as opposed to woman, because when you use woman, you're talking about life that has happened to you and things that has held you back. So I want to bring you back to that place. That place when you were a girl. The image I have in my mind is this 8-year-old girl, this 9-year-old girl, full of potential, full of promise, full of ambition, full of excitement. Before we lost it, you know,
amen.
in adulthood, you know, and all atrocities happening to us, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't people who haven't experienced trauma as little children, but I'm talking about that innocence. That's place,
unadulterated.
Absolutely, you know, and it's one of the tenets. And you know, you're talking about, you know, and from what you've said, really, a Kingdom Life coach walks alongside another person. I mean, it walks alongside a Christian to actualize all these amazing things that God has placed within them. Because like you said, so true. A lot of Christians are living on autopilot. Like most other people in the world, as humans, a lot of us, whether Christian or not, are living on autopilot. We go to church, we come back in the evening, we read our Bibles. I said evening, so maybe you go to church on Sunday. You know, you live your day by day. You go to work, you come back. You don't listen, and you don't hear, and you don't see this potential. Sometimes sometimes some people see it, but fear or other things hold them back. Which is where a Kingdom Life coach comes in, because a Kingdom Life coach then helps them bring out all those things, helps them identify all those obstacles that are standing in their way and how they can overcome those obstacles so that they can achieve. And like you said, we will not get an eternity is not enough for us to dig and for us to actualize all that potential, because it's unlimited. But that's where you need a Kingdom Life coach, because a Kingdom Life coach really is not trying to teach you what to do. It's to walk alongside you so you can be the best that you can be. So thank you so much for all that. I mean, that's amazing. And now another thing I know about you is obviously you're a wife, you're a mom to four kids. Sometimes, again, it's mind-blowing because I don't know how you do it. So just give us an idea of what your life is like on a typical day. I also know you're at this moment, I mean, hopefully not for too long, but I know at this moment, if you don't mind me saying, I know you're still juggling a 9-to-5 as well. That sounds, I mean, I'm tired just thinking about it. So how do you manage to do it all, as it were?
I think for me, what's most important is having systems in place, having systems and also support systems as well. So carrying my children along, my husband along, letting them know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. So for example, they know that I'm doing a recording at the moment, don't disturb me 1 hour. But aside from that as well, it's also managing my time well. So I actually have a calendar system in place where I have times when I do my 9-to-5, then I also have times when I can meet with clients or I can do my masterminds or whatever it is I'm doing after work. And it's not every single hour. So those are carved out. For that specifically, and my children and my husband also know about that. But in addition to that, and I guess over the last year or two, I mean, it's all part of exploring who you are and becoming aware of who you are. When are you most energized? When can you get the most work done? And I used to say I'm a night owl. I go to bed late. I still go to bed late. But recently, probably over about a year now, I've been waking up very early in the morning, and they have been transformative for me. I mean, we always hear about the 5 a.m. club and all these people who wake up early and, you know, change the world by waking up early. That was never, ever going to be me, you know, until COVID came, When COVID started, I'd literally roll from one side of my bed in the morning to the other side, pick up my laptop and start working. Maybe I'll have a shower at lunchtime. And then I realized that this is not sustainable. I'm not getting anything done. You know, everything is just becoming one. And then I realized, you know, obviously I have health goals, you know, just in terms of getting up, going out, exercising. So I started to do that in the mornings. I started getting up an hour earlier, you know, just to go for a walk. And that changed my life, because from 1 hour earlier to 2 hours earlier, now most mornings I get up at 5 a.m., 5:30. By 6, I'm out of my house. I go for a walk, I go to the gym, but I'm able to capitalize on that thing, on that as well. So in that time, I'm able to read my Bible, I'm able to pray, I'm able to listen to an audio. I have clients who are in the States, So in the mornings when I get home, maybe sometimes between 7:30 and 9 before I start my 9 to 5, I have client meetings where, you know, and it works quite well if they're I'm in the States or somewhere else, you know, and they don't mind being up late at their time, you know. So I have had meetings in the mornings or, you know, even in the evenings as well. So I think it's really just about finding out what works with you, what time of day works with you, what systems. I strongly believe in systems. I'm an accountability girl. I love accountability all day. And these systems just help me to remain accountable and also to ensure that I'm doing the right things at the right time. Like my calendar, for example. I've got a calendar, I've got Trello, I've got all these different systems that I use just to manage and organize my life. And if something new comes up as a tech girl, if anything comes up that's going to help me, I'm on it. I'm learning it and I'm doing it. So it's really just about finding what works for you.
You know, there's so many things I could touch on, but I know this conversation will go on and on and on and on. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the fact that you, like I said, you have done so many things, you know, and I know you to be a tech person. And it's almost like, I mean, I just stumbled on a new word recently and a new, I guess, world, this new word called a polymath. And I mean, or a multi-potentialite. So it's by this, just so I can give credit to who credit is due, by the lady called Emily Wapnick. She has a TED Talk on YouTube, if you guys want to check it out. I mean, they're not paying me to do this, but if you want to check it out, go check it out. But, you know, it's this person who they is called you could also call such a person a Renaissance man or woman. So and I think, you know, Debbie Akinkunle is, I mean, is a modern day Renaissance woman, because she does so many things and is good at those different things that she does. That's the key thing. Okay, so I don't want to take too much of your time any longer, so just a couple of questions left. I wanted to know, so what keeps you inspired? You know, so I mean, I'm sure you at some point with juggling so many balls, you may have experienced burnout. I'm just thinking. So what do you do? What do you do to keep yourself inspired and keep going?
I mean, I think the first thing that keeps me inspired is my faith. It goes without saying, just my faith, my love for God and the things he's called me to be. I want to say recently, not necessarily recently, but over the years, I know that he's called me to teach, to train, to transform lives, and also to transcribe, because I love writing. So I'd say my faith, but I'd say also my love for writing. I do love writing. Something I've picked up again recently, and I just love writing. That has helped to keep me going. You know, my children, my husband, my family, they inspire me to keep on going. You know, when I think about the life that I had as a child, and I know we haven't spoken about that, but, you know, being raised by a single mom, and, you know, it was a very, very difficult time. When I think back to those times, I do my best to give my children a better life. And so that's why that continues to inspire me, and to be able to do something great for my mother as well, just to say thank you for all the time that she's been there for me. I mean, the only reason why I'm a Kingdom Life Coach today, and the only reason why I love Jesus as much as I do, apart from the fact that he called me, he loves me, and I'm attracted to him, is the fact that my mother sowed the seed in my heart so many years ago. And then also the people that I get to impact on a daily basis and their testimonies, you know, it gives me life when people can come and say, Debbie, do you know that you did this and you did that? I mean, sharing very quickly, I did have a tutoring business at one point. And I remember there was a girl that she used to come to my house with her brother, and I used to tutor them. And she's just a girl who just used to come, and she was all right. She was doing quite well, and it was all right. And we had a good relationship until she went off to, I think, college or university. And I remember I went into Sports Direct during the summer one time, and she was there, and she said, Miss Debbie. And I was like, yes. I didn't recognize her because she'd grown and, you know, she looked different. And she goes, you're Miss Debbie, right? And I said, yeah. She goes, you don't remember me? I said, no. She told me her name. I was like, that name sounds familiar. And she goes, you used to tutor me when I was going to bloody blah school. She goes, oh my goodness me, I just wanted to let you know that was the best time of my life. I learned so much. I loved coming. Da, da. I had no idea I had impacted this girl in that way. Like, I wouldn't say she was my best student, but the fact that she would call me out and say, you know, I would never forget how much you instilled inside me. I loved your teaching sessions. You made everything so clear. I was like, for real, you know? So things like that, you know, the fact that I can impact lives, you know, when I get testimonies back, it really, really inspires me to keep on going, because I know that I'm where God wants me to be. I know that I'm changing the world, as I like to put it, one step at a time. I'm changing my little world, my little corner. I'm making the change I can where I am, so that in as much as I can influence the big bad world out there. I can release the fragrance of heaven as much as I possibly can. you know, to that. And also I want to say, you know, there's this fear. I mean, I have a fear of just living an average life. When I look at my mother, who she was, I feel like that she, I know that my mom had so much potential way back then, but you know, there were so many things that was holding her back. And one of those things was being a single mom, not having the money, having to look after all her kids and try to give us the best that she could from the little that she had. So those are the kind of things that keep me going, that remind me that I need to keep on going and that there's better yet ahead. And if the people that are doing it don't have 10 heads, the people that are making life, they, you know, so we are all God's creatures and we're all here for a reason. God didn't make any mistake by putting us here. So it is my duty to serve, and I enjoy doing it. So yeah.
Wow, that even inspires me just thinking about someone that you probably even forgotten was not in your radar, you know, just coming and giving. That makes it for me. That's that story itself. Honestly, that's amazing. Thank you for that. Okay, so just a couple of more questions, so I can let you go. Okay, I wish I could keep you. I keep talking, but I know I can't do that. So, what if you were to pick one? I'm glad you actually went into the you know, your childhood. Those are things I would have loved to ask, but obviously again I'm conscious of time, but I know you touched on it, and I'm glad that was something that gave you this boost to, you know, to what you're doing now. Shout out to your mom. I think she's created an amazing human. So but what if there was one resource, and this is me putting you under a little bit of pressure, if there was one resource that you literally could shout about from the rooftops, that you could point to say, you know what, this thing made such a big difference in my life. So that could be a book. So this is me giving you some expo, like we say, for where I'm from. So it could be a book. It could be a piece of music. It could be any resource, maybe a video, something, or maybe a person. You've mentioned your mom, but I'm talking more of a resource. So I don't want, not your mom, someone else, something else.
Oh, that's a difficult one. It's a difficult one because I feel like, first of all, my number one resource is the Bible. It always will be. And just on the Bible, I do run the Proverbs Challenge, which I do every year. Sometimes I do it 2 or 3 times a year. And there's a book I mastermind on. It's called The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. It's a resource that I think everybody should get. But there's a story in there about a guy who transforms his business and literally his life by reading from the book of Proverbs. And so the book of Proverbs, without a doubt. But the thing is, most people might not get it straight away because it really takes revelation. It takes time, spending time in the word, you know, and getting it to come alive to you. And I guess the more time you spend in it, the more it will begin to make sense. If I was going to point to anything, I'd say that. But the reason why I say it was unfair is because I believe in different seasons of my life, there are different resources that I rely on. So right now, the book that's doing it for me is The Compound Effect. Like I've read it twice already this month. It's ridiculous, but I just love that book. And if I'm talking about music, oh my goodness me, I have to say Nathaniel Bassi just does it for me every single time. I don't know why, but my goodness me, his music just speaks straight to my spirit, to my heart. And it really encourages me to keep on going. And he's a guy who I look at and I think, you know, if he can do all of the things he's doing, you know, why can't I do the things I'm doing? So I don't know. There's so many different resources out there, but I just think it depends on where you are in your life and what you're focusing on. But the Bible is my number one go-to resource always, always, always. And I feel the more time you spend reading the Bible, the more it becomes apparent to you that all the answers that you need are actually in there.
Amazing. Okay, so last question, where can people find you? One of the things I was going to say earlier was, you know, you were talking about systems and, you know, how you do this and how you have Trello and all that. I mean, she knows me. I can't figure out Trello to save my life. To be honest, maybe it's just because I haven't tried. And I mean, I know I am a slight technophobe and I'm owning that. I just need to get people around me like her who kind of help me with those things. But for people like me that are not as organized as you are, I would say if you're listening to this and you're like, your hearing systems and your head is just your wiring is just it's just coming together, and just trust me, get a Kingdom Life coach. So where can people find you? Where can our listeners find you? And if they need Kingdom Life coaching, where can they go?
So just search for me. I'm Debbie Akinkunle, everywhere, I believe. I'm on Instagram, and I'm also on Facebook. I do a little bit of Twitter here and there. I think the best place to find me is Instagram. I'm also a WhatsApp girl, so if you get my number, we can chat on WhatsApp.
Cool. I'm not going to be
but Instagram
to share her
is the best place.
She wants me to share. If you want me, give you her number, and I will ask her permission first, obviously, then just message me. Please, obviously, we're going to put the links in the show notes so you can contact her. You can find her in all these different places in the web. Sorry, I'm not using
the web.
Whatever. But you know, if you use the internet or social media, basically.
Something like that. Yes.
You can find her. Well, thank you so much for your time, Debs. Honestly, it's
You're most welcome.
Amazing. And I knew it was going to be, but I hope people can see how amazing you are and how, how amazing what you do is. And if you're listening and you're a Christian, I know this podcast is not specifically for Christians, but I'm a Christian, so it only makes sense that there will probably be a fair number of Christians who are going to be listening to this. If you're a Christian and you're looking at your life and you're like, look, I know I'm made for so much more, but I just keep hitting my head against the wall, nothing seems to be working, then get some Kingdom Life coaching. Get Debbie Akinkunle on your corner. What bottom line. Thank you for your time, Debs.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I've had fun. I know we just scratched the surface, but I'm excited and I look forward to more of what Girl Unlimited is going to do.
Thank you.
You, my friend, are a total rock legend for listening to this episode to the end. I hope you found value in it. And if you did, would you do me a quick favor? Would you rate and review this podcast on the platform you're listening? And if the platform you're listening doesn't have the facility to rate and review, then please share the episode with your friends and your loved ones. It will go such a long way in helping spread the word of this podcast. And until next time, remember you're a unique, remarkably created person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?